City meeting to order for November 5th. Would you lead us in the pledge, Joe?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd also like to call the attention that the youth and government students are going to be joining us today, so please welcome them. Could I have approval of the minutes for October 1st?
Make a motion.
Second.
And the 27th as well. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Lynn, good morning.
First up, we have Trellis here. Amanda's here from Trellis. You can come on up to give you an update on the media campaign for the opioid that's been funded by opioid settlement funds.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for getting me out of my house. We work from home, so the drive down here was absolutely stunning. I also was sharing with Darlene that I went to school in Alfred University, so coming back to this area has been wonderful. Thank you for having me. So this opioid abatement campaign is founded on a system that Trellis Marketing created to educate and make aware it's an education and awareness campaign in opioid abatement. So the system includes streaming TV. It includes compelling PSAs that are been custom branded for Steuben County specifically. And they hit on three different topics. One is stigma and the unfortunate downfall of residents not being able to talk about their problems and then therefore not turning people towards the path of recovery. And then also stories of recovery and hope. So those PSAs coupled with digital ads have been streaming throughout the county since March. This plan is a year-long campaign, and we provide quarterly reports. So this report here is based on the first and second quarter. Obviously, quarter one was just us gathering the data, and quarter two, we actually have some data to be able to aggregate and pull some solid analytics from. So in addition to this, the PSAs and the digital ads, the system actually provides people, once they see it, a landing page where they can go and get resources for help. So we purchase steubenhope.org. So when people actually see the ads, they can take action, click through using, if it's a digital ad, click through directly to the website. Or if it's a streaming ad, then they can, with the use of a QR code, go right to the website as well. Once they're on the website, it gives connections to care, and it's all of your county resources or anyone in the help in the fight against the opioid crisis. So that all being said, I can give some statistics on the streaming. Currently, we've had over 203,000 impressions delivered across multiple publishers and platforms. And some of you might be asking, like, well, what does that mean? And when I started this job, I kind of needed the education as well, because a lot of people say, oh, okay, what's OTT? What does streaming mean? Where do I actually see it in the wild? And where you would see that is on over 125 different networks, meaning all of the usual suspects like your AMC, your Food Network, History Channel, all of your premium networks, in addition to free platforms like Tubi, Pluto, and then subscription-based platforms as well, which probably most of you have heard of, Hulu, Peacock, Paramount+. Okay. And the other interesting thing about this and media, which I also needed to be explained to when I started this position, is that you can buy media that is specifically for connected TV and or mobile TV or both. In our situation, we decided to do both because in rural counties, sometimes cell service or internet service is not great. So we wanted to make sure that we hit people both on mobile devices and on their connected TVs. So far, we've reached 39,407 homes, which we believe to be each household in the county at least one time. So that doesn't necessarily mean each individual, that means the household. Okay. Display and retargeting ads. So we talk about digital display, which for some of you might seem like a foreign concept too. So I'm going to break it down. There's two different types of digital ads that we have deployed for these for this campaign. One is a digital ad. That pretty much means that anytime that you're scrolling on your device, those ads that you kind of see on the side or on the fringes of websites that you visit, those are digital ads. And those are served to anyone, include anyone that is in Steuben County. So there's no waste. We've drawn a line around the county perimeter, and it's anyone 18 and over in this county specifically, okay? There's another kind of digital ad that we've deployed, and that is retargeting ads. So essentially, the difference between those is retargeting ads are specifically targeted to people that have already been to steubenhope.org. So they've already shown interest, and those are those creepy ads that if you've gone to a website, all of a sudden you see the ads start following you around. That's what those are, okay? So two different types of digital ads there. And I should have mentioned this. The yearly investment for the OTT ads, that's the streaming ads specifically, was $48,000. So far, we've spent $24,000 of that. For the digital display and retargeting ads, we have spent $4,000. The yearly investment is $8,000. Okay. So some other highlights of this campaign as we keep going along here. Our landing page. So the landing page recorded 61 clicks towards care and support resources. That means that 61 individuals since we've started have seen the ad, gone to the website, and actually clicked through to something. Things that they're clicking on include finding help near me, which that means they're clicking through to your resources. Learn about naloxone, which if you guys don't know, naloxone is the life-saving nasal spray to get people to come out of an overdose, and then get involved or contact support. So those are the three things that people are clicking on most when you go to steubenhope.org. Another trend that we've seen emerging from where we started and where we are now is that older men, 65 plus, has emerged as top engaging audience. And what's that? What does that mean? Well, when we started looking at the data in quarter one, it was mostly women, older women looking at this. And now it seems as though, and I don't know about you guys, but in my household, it seems I've got a household of boys. It seems that they catch on a little slower than women. And so
but we catch up.
So what that means is that now our gentlemen are getting a little more engaged, and it's the frequency and the targeting is actually working, so that we're starting to see engagement in older men, which directly correlates with who we see as, I don't want to say top offenders, but those that are in the throes of addiction, believe it or not, are in the older gentleman profile over 65 plus. So that is good. Site engagement rose to 9% from 5.7. So what that means, visitors spending more time exploring content, interacting with resources on the campaign's landing page. So essentially, from quarter one to quarter two, people are spending more time and also repeat customers. So what we want eventually is we want to be able to decrease your ad spend and for people to remember, okay, I need help, or I know that this person needs help. Let's send them to steubenhorp.org, and then we can disseminate them to the resources that they have throughout the county. So it's good. And so again, I shouldn't say this because I'm trying to sell marketing, but the hope is that you get brand equity in this message. And so over time, instead of having to see the ad, people will just know where to go, if that makes sense. Corning, Hornell, and Bath continue to receive the most impressions. Why that's good. This geographic consistency indicates that Steuben's messaging is effectively reaching residents within its most populous and at-risk communities, reinforcing awareness where it's most helpful. Now, what other useful tool this will be for us is this would also alert us of any other issues if another zip code showed higher levels of engagement compared to their population. So essentially, it could be a beacon of, okay, this is a hotspot. People are actually actively looking at this or seeking help. Or let's say they're clicking on the click-through link to Narcan or Naloxone, meaning that area could be a hotspot for people in the throes of addiction. So that's just something that we're kind of monitoring as well. Strong cross-channel coordination and creative stability, what this means. Story-driven ads. So if you haven't had a moment to go to the website, all of the stories of Hope are on there in their long form as well. So I encourage you, if you haven't already gone, they're very inspirational stories of hope and recovery. And what we're monitoring, what that means for us is the data is showing us what people are responding to most, and we as an agency are adjusting based on what's getting the most engagement. So right now for our OTT streaming ads, we've deployed all of the ads at once, and we've done that kind of to make sure people don't get fatigue. So the more content that we have out there, we're hitting people where they're at across all demographics. But in our social media effort, we are looking at which ad has the most engagement and also where we're at in seasonality. So right now we're in quarter three, we're getting towards holiday season, which we see that there unfortunately is a spike in overdose and use of recreational drugs. So we are showing our recreational PSAs, our recreational use PSAs, in addition to stigma. And that is essentially to mean, and I hate to say this, but during the holiday season, people congregate. And if somebody is struggling in families, a lot of people don't like to talk about it. So this is the perfect time to deploy that message to say, if you know someone that is struggling in your household, that it's okay. The more we talk about it, the more we breathe air into it, and the more we get people to turn towards the path to recovery. So stigma and recreational drug use is what's happening right now. And you'll see that more so on social media than on your traditional streaming methods. So overall, everything is trending good. Everything is working the way that it's supposed to. All of our analytics are strong, and hopefully over time, again, the goal is to get that brand equity, that awareness and education in the residents so that they automatically know this is where I go for help and treatment. Is there any questions? Yes.
I'm gonna ask questions.
What was that?
There. No, I haven't talked yet. So how do we compare with our statistics versus some of your other clients?
Well, I will say that Steuben County, you should be proud of this. While you were not the first to contact us to sign on for this, you were the first one that actually went live, which is great. But quarter by quarter, you guys are right in line with what's happening everywhere else. I will say some of our social media data, it looks different in every county because different counties have different kinds of populations and communities where some of the messaging resonates more with specific media than others, if that makes sense. So in this particular county, Jeff's story and Antonio's story scored really high. And there's a graphical PSA that pretty much just kind of explains the dangers of recreational use in a graphical format. That one had really, really high engagement in this county in particular, a little higher than the others that we've seen, which is interesting. But it's hard to say, you know, if you're asking, are people changing their behavior? It's still a little early yet to see that because this is just the second quarter reports. But engagement has been really high, particularly in social media in this county and around that graphic. So you're pretty on par, but what people are actually commenting on and engaging with is going to be slightly different from county to county.
Any other questions? Kelly?
I see there are billboards around town that talk about drug use and the dangers of it. Do you guys use any billboards as well?
We do.
Now, I didn't notice if the website is listed on the billboard.
So the billboards I believe that you have running through right now are through OASIS, if that's right, Darlene. Yeah.
Oh, I was just thinking that if you can get them to at least mention the website, the more you see it. I mean, I'm a kid of the 80s, so this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Mm-hmm. I will never forget that ad. So we need to
change that.
See it. You need to see it mm-hmm. everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question I had was, at what point, how long does it take to where you think we'll get even more payback from all of this investment?
Well, that's
I know it varies.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard question to ask or a hard question to answer. And when I try to formulate a response, because that's not the only time this has ever been asked, it really hinges on a lot of factors. One is like what we're up against. And unfortunately, with this campaign, we're treading an uphill battle because stigma is such a real thing. And we have to change the perception of what opioid like substance use looks like in our family and our society. And unfortunately, because nobody talks about it, that's number one, is changing the stigma and getting people to breathe air in hope in individuals. But the problem is, like, that's going to take some time, because that's a societal shift that we as a community start wrapping around our arms around these individuals that need hope, or that, you know, need help, and they need help. So it's a hard question to answer. Hopefully soon, but if anyone has known anyone in the throes of addiction, it comes within that person. It's not any one thing that's going to get them. You know, it's not any one person that's going to get them to say, okay, I'm going to change my life. They have to believe that there's hope, and they have to take the first step themselves. So for them to really believe and feel that's a possibility is going to take some time. But, you know, to your point, and kind of like what I said before, is, you know, this is a system that we put together to start the effort. As the data comes back, we're an agency that is a full service agency, and we deploy many different tactics. So, you know, if we want to change our system so that we can shift with what's happening in your community, we certainly will do that. So if the billboards come down through OASIS or through the coalition, then we can attack it a different way and maybe do some more outdoor ads. We can do direct mail. There's a lot of different things that we can do to potentially reduce that budget and be more acute in our efforts to meet people where they are.
Reduce the budget or spend it even more widely.
Or change it, right? So deploy different tactics, essentially. Yeah, but we're fluid. And I say this with every one of our counties. There's many different levers that you can pull, and you should be pulling those levers all the time based on the feedback that we're getting from your residents and from the data. So that's why the data is so important.
Thank you.
Yeah. Question?
Well, first of all, with our chair saying she remembers, you know, the brain and the fried eggs, I'll go back even farther when First Lady Reagan said, just say no. That didn't go real well, but it was at least an attempt. My question is simply this. I was looking at your presentation here, and I'm looking at page 10, and it's got total impressions of almost 900,000. So that is total of everything.
Together.
And that's only for a quarter.
Two quarters. Yes.
So 900,000 impressions for half a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole idea is to get the word out. That's the whole gist of everything, right?
Frequency.
And it looks like we're getting the word out all over. And it's just a matter of
time and pressure.
Take any action. Are they going to do what we're trying to say?
Time and pressure. And a key piece of that really is the stigma. I mean, speaking to you guys in leadership, we really have to normalize this situation because, you know, keeping it under wraps and keeping, you know, people being ashamed of, essentially, it's a disease. is not going to get people to turn towards a path of recovery.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Scott?
Yes.
So the stigma thing is real. I know it personally. I have a good friend who is a doctor. He has two daughters. One of them got into drugs, you know, really bad for a while. Fortunately, she went to rehab and she's clean. And we were very uncomfortable talking about it, even with him and if she came around. But she was the one that was pushing us to talk about it, which she probably learned that in rehab. But yeah, she tried to normalize it. And every time she would reach a time, milestone and get a token or whatever, she let us know about it. And it caused a lot of us to be more comfortable in talking about it with her and her father. So that's real.
Yeah, it's absolutely real. And talking about it openly like that is part of the healing process. Yeah. So as soon as the more people talk about it, that's part of their recovery journey. Yeah.
Just a note, looking at your website, I was looking through it as you were doing your presentation. The one link for Find Narcan Near You just goes to a GIS map. So if you type in a zip code like Corning, it narrows in on Corning, but it doesn't show anything. It just shows Corning.
It should not do that. Let me check that link. What it should do is go to a form fill that you fill out and you get free naloxone in the mail.
Yeah, if I find Narcan Near Me, it goes to a GIS map.
No, the link is broken. I'll check it out. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I'll get you some though if you want it.
Well, yeah. No, I want to, because we have a Narcan dispenser in our town. So I wanted to see whether our town is
really important
there.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that the data will show too, is that overdose deaths might be decreasing, which is kind of a twofold good and bad thing. Overdose deaths are decreasing, but that also is because people are learning more and more about naloxone and Narcan. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not using. It just means that they're being a little more safe. But to your point, the just say no is not a solid method, because, you know, what we really have to realize is that people are in the cycle of addiction. They're not going to say no, but how do we keep them safe in the interim of turning towards the path of recovery?
Thank you. Hilda.
So in what you're just saying, follow up on the number of fatals here in the county has held steady for several months, which is a good thing. But we have brought Narcan all over the county, the wall boxes, the vending machine and everything else. So that has to help, I'm sure. It's hard to really know what's reported. Of course, we don't know what's not reported, but we have Narcan everywhere. And obviously we think it's helping.
Yeah, we got to keep our residents alive. Yeah.
I do want to compliment you on this. I mean, it's very detailed. It's very good. I like what I'm seeing. Mr. Vanetten had brought up the stigma part of it, and I want to piggyback on that, because he's so right when he speaks about how strong it is. And I experienced it. My 19-year-old son at the time was going to the University of Delaware. This is in 2009, fall of 2009. Played lacrosse there, blew his shoulder out. They wanted to do the operation down there at the University of Delaware. They did it in December, came back in January, and he had an open prescription to the wonder drug, OxyContin, back then. And it was just a matter of 2 months before we started seeing things, you know, dropping out, not going to class. He stopped going to practice, even though he was hurt. He was still supposed to. And the next two and a half years were hell. I'll be honest with you. And as a parent, you don't want to think that. You don't want to say, my son's hooked on opiates. So you try to, you know, stay away from that. And, you know, my son didn't want either. And finally, when he came to grips with it, 4 years, he went into rehab. And it was medication-assisted therapy. And he made it. But it took 4 years. But when Mr. Vanetten brought that stigma piece up, it's so important. And I think to get the word out there, show the message, that helps decrease that a little. So
Yep. And there's actually, and I will say that your story is not unique, unfortunately. A lot of people are prescribed into their addiction, and it happens with an injury. And then all of a sudden they're in the throes of addiction and they're stigmatized for just trying to help themselves. And it just doesn't surround the person that is in the throes of addiction, but it also impacts their entire family, where all of a sudden you're a holiday and nobody wants to talk about it, including their parents, who really should be wrapping their arms around their child. Yeah.
Mike, do you have a question?
Do you find that addiction is generational, that it goes from one generation to the other?
Yes. So it's very much similar to alcoholism, where if you are prone to addiction, it's going to be the same way. So there are some individuals where their brain chemistry is a little stronger, where they don't succumb to addiction that fast, but there is 10% of the population where they have an addictive personality, and it will grab onto them and it will sweep them away.
Thank you so much for your presentation. It was wonderful.
Oh, and I also want to mention, too, that the Stories of Hope and Recovery, albeit they're a library that is proprietary to Trellis, there are other counties that are doing interviews that are specific to their county, which in a county like this, if you have notable known people that have had experience with stigma or opioids or substance use disorder, telling those stories help normalize it for the residents. So that is an option if you're interested moving forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next more mundane item is for approval for petty cash. So I was here around a couple of months ago about petty cash. And when we got to the finance committee part of the petty cash, it came to our attention that there was an old drawer that needed to be closed. And because of the way we've moved departments within and realigning, that we needed to ask for some different things with our petty cash. So we halted it, and now I'm back to ask for what we actually need, which is petty cash account A12016, which was our petty cash drawer at Canistia Valley Family Practice in Hornell, where we used to have a clinic. It closed 3-4 years ago. We need that closed, permission to close that. And then we need two petty cash accounts opened, one for our Corning Clinic for $100 and one for our Compeer program for $300.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Our next item is our 2026 contract renewals. I think a cheat sheet was sent out. If you have questions.
They are incorporated into your draft budget.
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. My last item is approval to accept the most recent COLA from OMH in the amount of $7,804 to go to Clarity, the clinic in crisis.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Morning.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. I knew I was on the agenda, but I did pass out this morning, in case anyone did not get a copy, the allocations that I'm requesting for our youth sports funds. Just to kind of orient you to this just a little bit, the section at the top in blue, the youth development program, this committee did discuss those at the September meeting and tentatively approved those allocations. But at that time, the RFP was still open for the sports money, which is why we couldn't move at that time. So now that has closed. We have scored. We have the youth board discussed it this past week and made these the allocations that you have in front of you. For the most part, they are pretty straightforward, I think, refunding a few organizations in the youth sports and education funding. And also in the team sports, we can take for each pot, we can take 15% or a maximum 15% for Youth Bureau admin. So I did that, I believe, in both cases. The one kind of unique one that is a new idea is the installation of a disc golf course at Kankakee County Park. It's a lot of fun. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but I think it's a lot of fun. If you're not familiar with disc golf or frisbee golf, there is a course at Denison Park in Corning, which James had said in a meeting is used a lot, and I attest to that as well. We did the applications that came in or the proposals that came in for the RFP did not utilize all of the YSEF or the youth team sports funds. And so in kind of brainstorming a little bit, I floated past Eric in Public Works, the idea of installation of a course at Kankakee. He thought enough of it to give me to Brian Bailey, who actually is the supervisor for the park. He has talked with the Corps of Engineers, who actually the federal land there with the reservoir. They called me within a half an hour and they were okay with the concept. So all of this is moving. Okay, folks are okay with it, the idea. We just need to see the plan and the map and all that kind of stuff of what it would look like. So I have also reached out to an organization in Rochester. I believe it's the Greater Rochester Disc Golf or something along those lines. They do have some course designers there. So if we do move forward, and I'm going to be meeting with them, I think, on the 18th, pending your approval, of course. Public Works would do a lot of the installation, which would help keep the cost down. So the $15,000 would be part of it is consulting fees to the group in Rochester or someone else. The actual purchase of the nets and targets and the discs and those kinds of things. But there's a lot of land at the park. And for the campers, there's a campground there, as you know. It's a great rustic park, but it's, you know, and there's a nice playground. There's not a lot else to do if you're not a fisher or fisherman or something along those lines. I think this would really provide a draw for the park. And so that's my story and I'm sticking to it. It's there. Welcome any questions.
Hilda?
So, Bill, first of all, two questions. Do you get reports from the people that you've given the money to in the past?
Yes.
To know what they're doing with it?
Correct. Yes. They report, they have to fill out an annual report, talks about the numbers, the impact, and those kinds of things.
The other question is under homeless supports.
Yep.
What is that going to go towards?
In the September meeting, we talked about it. It was basically through OCFS, we are eligible to receive about $15,000 a year. For runaway homeless youth supports, defined by us, not defined by the state necessarily. This allocation is going to allow me, it's kind of leveraging, it'll allow us to use the YDP allocation this year. And then starting next year, it would roll into the runaway homeless youth $15,000 that's eligible to every county. It's just not all of them use it. I did have a meeting, Zoom meeting last week with the liaisons, the homeless liaisons in multiple districts. I think there were about 10 districts on the call, about how we could go about using those funds to support the families they identify as homeless, which is not the same definition that DSS uses. In theory, I'm trying to help those families, the schools identify before they get to the DSS definition.
So, but what would that do? Would that help get them a place, help to find a place to live? Or, I mean, that's not very much money, but.
No, you're exactly right. It's not. And in that call, it seemed to be a lot of, surprisingly, the big thing that came up was laundry. If we can help provide, you know, help families do laundry, that would be a big help. But it could be, they referred to just individual needs of families that they might have. It could be, who knows, it could be disc golf. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. No. Gift cards for gas or something to allow them to get to school. It's to be defined, but very much in the early stages, but to be defined.
But, I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I abstain.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Good
morning, Kathy.
I'm here to start with adding Dr. Coron for evaluations that we sometimes need for our children and families. We only have a couple going on right now. We have a conflict. We need an additional psychologist to do those evaluations. So he charges $150 an hour, which is typical.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And then I think you all received our adoption day invitation. Just want to, I know there's been some conflict and I apologize for that, but for any of you who can make it, we'd love to have you. And then the equipment request, we're not going forward with because of the homeless numbers that have gone up and the amount of money we've spent. I don't want to overspend, so. We may already have with homeless, so I'm pulling it back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, Kelly.
I'm not sure how many of you are aware, but there has been some concern coming out of the Village of Bath regarding homeless placements in the Village of Bath. And that's why we had asked for Kathy to bring us this report that everybody got a copy of. He's requesting a meeting to see what other kinds of things that we can work on. I just wanted to make sure that I brought it up to everyone's attention. I haven't set a date for the meeting yet. I did discuss with the commissioner this morning about who we should include on that meeting. I mean, we all realize that we are required by law and by just human compassion to take care of people that present themselves in our communities for assistance. We don't want people living under a bridge. We don't want people going hungry. But I feel it's also important then to address the Village of Bath's concerns and include some of them in on a meeting and see what other kinds of supports and other things that we can put into place in order to help alleviate some of the pressure. I mean, I see that 42% of the placements are coming into Bath. And I'm not sure, as far as those numbers are concerned, how much the warming station, once it is set up, will help alleviate. And I'm assuming that Bath percentage, that's village and town. That's correct. Okay. So I don't know if you have any, I don't expect you to have a comment because I kind of spun this on you. Jack, I don't know if you had any comments or if anyone else has any comments, but I do want to address his concerns. I think we should bring in the police chief because we did have a contract that allowed for some work by Bath PD that we would pay for, but the previous chief didn't choose to use that contract. And we thought that maybe that is one of the supports that we could bring in to help alleviate some of their concerns.
Yeah, certainly. Happy to, meet with them, have the report that's updated, and we can obviously email those to you as the reports are updated. I would agree that there are some other things that we might be able to do. Previous chiefs of police, I think it was on average like $15,000 they were able to leverage for checks that they would perform. So that helps offset their budget, their overtime. Certainly, happy to discuss reinstating that because we had that for a very long time.
Yeah, we did.
Until a few years ago.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Sure. Yes.
So when you get together, I assume you'll also talk about transportation because obviously that's an issue.
Concern. I mean, I'm assuming that a good portion of the placements, number one, there is availability in the Village of Bath and the town of Bath, but realistically, how frequently does someone who is on this placement list need to come back and check in at the county level? And with the lack of transportation, doesn't it, it makes more sense for them to be closer to the county building rather than farther away. Is that an accurate? Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing, if you don't mind, that I would state, if you have seen some of the mayor's comments, the placement of state parolees at the budget inn, because that gets conflated at times by some folks in the village. And I understand they're not supposed to know the ins and outs of it, but that's a contract directly with state parole and the budget inn that we have nothing to do with. But a lot of times in the public discourse on this topic, that gets wrapped in, and because it, a lot of it started, at least what I saw on social media, of an arrest of a parolee, and that started the public discourse again. But just wanted you all to know that budget and contract is separate.
I do have the contact information for the person who is the supervisor of the parolees in our area, and I figured I would loop them in on a conversation that we have.
We now also, because of the Bridge of Hope, we have satellite offices that people may not have to go all the way to Bath. They can be contacted and be served in Corning as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. That certainly has reduced. I mean, but the caseload going up is what I think, because if you look at the previous couple of years, we were able to drop the placements in Bath by quite a bit by leveraging the Bridge to Hope. Caseload, obviously, as Kathy mentioned, is huge this year, which I think is the primary driver of the Bath numbers going back up, because to your point, there is capacity in the hotels in here. But it's a good point, and it's something that, you know, we certainly would be open. I can speak for myself, you know, that if a model like the Bridge to Hope was to be replicated in other areas, to take a look at.
Absolutely. I mean, no different than our level of responsibility and compassion to take care of people, then we also need to have the responsibility to help the systems that are in place within those municipalities manage the domino effect that comes from the placements and the other things that are going on. And so I do intend and hope for a reasonable conversation with him.
You can't have reasonable conversations with him.
I can attempt.
She's attempting.
He came to us 4 years ago. We had a big round table with him.
Yes.
He brought his chief of police with him, and he had all the same complaints that he does now.
I understand that.
Wanted us to address everything. I mean, parolees, when they get let out of prison, have to come back to the area where they were sent from the court, right? So they get brought back here.
They don't. Some of the parolees that come here are not, they didn't commit their offenses within Steuben County, but if they have family here, they are brought here as well. So there are other circumstances. But my thought is that he may not be reasonable, but if we can help put some other supports in place to help him, that might lower the temperature of the problem.
Joe?
I fully support you meeting with those people in Bath to, you know, begin the discussion, because I think in a year from now, we're going to see an increase in homelessness.
I agree.
I really think, you know, when that bill kicks in a year from now, things are going to get really bad. But here's my question to Kath. Kath, well, what are the main differences between a warming station and a homeless shelter?
Probably not a lot of difference. The warming station, they come in at 5 at night and they leave in the morning. And the
But you don't place them there in the warming station. They go on their own?
Oh no, we'll be putting them
there. Yeah.
Can't just walk in.
They could just walk, they could call.
That's an option too. The other thing I would say is the amenities, where because we use hotel rooms to house, it's not going to be the same level of amenities where it's, you know, private bathrooms and, you know, that much privacy and those sort of things. It's not going
to. The warming stations won't have that much.
No, it'll still be a comfortable, safe place for people to Kelly's point, to be safe if they're in need, but it's not going to be a private room in every case with separate facilities for them.
No, there'll be bathroom facilities and there'll be all, but they will not have their own room.
Kath, are we ever at a point where all the homeless shelters are full?
What was that?
Are we ever at a point where all the homeless placements, where we can place homeless people in a shelter, are we ever at the point where it's just full? It's maxed out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do when you get a referral like
they
that?
They go out of county.
Pardon?
Out of county.
Oh, you do it out of county?
Yeah.
And how do you get them there?
Taxi.
So you taxi them there. Wow.
That was the start of Bridge to Hope. The Lando Hotel was being filled by people from Chamon County.
Ah,
100% so Chamon.
The agreement Kathy made with Yannick was that we would sign up to rent the rooms and keep it Steuben County residents. So we picked up that capacity at a reduced cost.
Yeah. And in fact, I look at the cost per night at the Bridge of Hope. It's one of the cheapest.
Well, yeah.
We pay $37.50 a night to house someone there.
Mm-hmm.
And in exchange for that discounted rate, we have exclusivity and we pay for all the rooms. So it's almost a guaranteed revenue contract on their end, whereas our contracts per night with like the hotels in Bath are, you know, it's per room, but it's no guarantee that we're going to use so many rooms a month.
But Bridge of Hope, we pay for all?
Yes.
Yes.
Whether they're filled or not?
Yes.
Okay.
They're filled.
Always full.
And
they're filled.
Usually filled. Yeah, if we ever got to a point where it was filled a third of the time or a third of it was filled, we'd be
certainly
having conversations with the
Deacon
coming back.
He's open to that. I mean,
thank you.
Scott?
I guess concern I have or observation is if you look in the bottom corner, the square total served, I mean, it's been relatively flat, 1260, 1260, 1251, this year's 1247, but the cost year over year from last year to this year has gone up $1 million. So what drives that $1 million if the total served is about the same?
I think we'd have to check on the total served because the average cost per night doesn't really change. So the driver would have to be caseload.
Yeah. That number.
Can we check that recirculate it? Because that doesn't seem, based on cost alone and because the contract cost for these places hasn't changed, it has to be driven by caseload.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're going by end of year, we're projecting we're going to go up 63%.
63%
from last year.
So then maybe that 1247 number for this year is only year to date.
It is year to date.
And the other ones are 12 months worth, or are they also?
No, they're year. That's total year. That shows the whole year. Lee, do you have any other comment?
Yeah. It's also the number served, so it's a year-to-date number, and it's also the number served per night. So our number served per night has gone up considerably. We're serving over 300 individuals a night. It's raised it.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah, so it's not.
So,
all right, so that's not 1,200 nights, guys. 1,200 people, but they might have stayed four nights instead of two nights.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. But that's not.
I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Okay. So that number, you can't really relate that to the cost because it's not a straight line relation.
Right. It's more just the number of people that it's helped.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Any other questions? Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, David. I'm overwhelmed with SNAP right now. So sorry.
And on that, if you would like an update on SNAP, I was going to email you all. Kathy received a communication, just a quick update. The latest that we heard, and we're hoping to get more information today, but the latest that we heard is that the feds are going to direct payment of 50% of the benefits to individuals. So not fully fund the month of November, but direct 50% of what they would get. But we're still waiting on the state because they ultimately control that allocation, and we don't know what that means and how that will function, because there's a lot of calculations behind this, and that's what OTDA is saying, is that setting it at 50% instead of fully funding it for, you know, 3 weeks instead of four really complicates things.
And Jack, what you're saying is the federal government will appropriate the funds to the state, and then it's up to the state to distribute the way they want to each of the counties?
That's how it works. The state is the one that actually, and I think it's every state. James is on the NACO board, but I believe it's every state has the contract with the EBT vendors. Okay. That actually provide the car. We administer the benefits in terms of qualifications and checking, okay, you know, those sort of things. But it's the state that has the contract that loads the money on the EBT cards.
Thank you.
So, Jack, are they not going to spend the contingency funds? They're going to fund it at 50% instead?
Well, so that is their plan of using those contingency mm-hmm. funds, because they have about
only funded at
50%. They have about 75% worth of a month of total SNAP benefits in that contingency fund. But the directive that came out yesterday was to direct states to fund 50% of what an individual or a family would normally get for a month,
because they're only going to use a portion of their contingency. Yep. Contingency.
Right. Yeah. Karen. Well, Kathy, you know, there's going to be different time frames for making that adjustment from 100% or 75 down to 50.
Yeah.
Do you have an estimate as to when you get final 2 weeks?
At a minimum. And it could be an additional 10 days.
Right. That's what we hear. This could be into December before they actually see, in some states where they get it adjusted not to hit the cards. So,
yeah.
I was wondering what our processing time was going to be.
Yeah. And then the way they're calculating this for each individual now, and we have another, I had a conference call yesterday, but today we have another one. They could get zero.
Right.
Even though they should get some money.
Hmm. Wow.
The way they are calculating it.
Do you have a appeal process in place for if someone does go and they say, I should have something on here and it's zero?
Oh yeah, they can.
They can. Yeah. Okay. They have a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you for navigating this.
Any other questions?
Thanks for that, Jack.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay. Thank you for everything.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
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 On behalf of Public Health, we have a amendment to a contract for preschool services with Finger Lakes UPC, DBA, the Happiness House. And this would be looking to add the $70 per individual session or $35 per individual per group session. These are the related services that we're missing from that contract.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. The second item that I have is to amend a contract with Bernie Bus Services to add in the commingle rate for the contract. This would be retroactively back to July 1st, 2025.
Yeah.
Matt, the contract with Bernie, that's not public transportation. That's school transportation?
Yes, sir. That would be for preschool transportation.
And how much do we pay?
In aggregate per year, it's at least $500,000.
Pretty close to. I mean, there's a couple of contracts. This specific contract is for summer school.
Okay.
So we have a summer school session, and then we also have a contract for the 10-month regular school season.
All right. Thank you.
Motion.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
The third item that I have is seeking the approval to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Southern Tier Finger Lakes community organizations active in disasters. There's no dollar amounts attached to this. This is simply to reflect that we are officially part of the what's known as the COAD, the community organizations active disaster organization.
And they are very, very active behind the scenes. You might not see it, but in the every emergency that we have, but especially the last two major floods that we had, they are very critical partners and really good to work with.
Make a motion.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And the last item that I have is the request to be approved for signing into a contract with the Say Rural Health Network, GBA, the Pivotal Public Health Partnership. There's two parts to it. One is a quality assurance and quality improvement services and performance management software for $23,125. And the second part is for strategic planning services for our department for $12,133.
And this is a contract renewal. The figures are likely, the payments are likely updated, but we've been a part of Say 2 now Pivotal for as long as I've been here.
Me as well. Callie?
What elements of strategic planning services are you working with the network?
What we're looking for is to obtain the entire listening to us, analyzing our data and services, and helping us to develop our department strategic plan comprehensively based off from the input that's received from our organization back.
Okay. And how long do you think it'll take you in the process of doing this to where you'll have a strategic plan in place?
We're looking at 6 to 8 months, by the time we get the surveys and information and data and start to set out with our team what our strategic initiatives would be.
Super. So that'll be part of your department goals for 2026, I'm assuming.
I'm assuming so.
Thank you.
Pivotal does a great job for us by leveraging a lot of grants and that we get our money back. And
you said this is a renewal, so this is something that we kind of just keep. This is like a year annual thing, right?
Yeah, the term, I'm looking at the term. I can't recall if we bring this back every year or if it's one of those that, because that we have extensions that we can do for 5 years. Okay. But yeah, we bring it back for renewals. I just off the top of my head don't know how frequently that happens.
Gotcha.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion. Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any questions? All in favor? Approved. Thank you.
Sorry, just look. It is 1 year, so be back next year for that again.
Sounds like it's something that keeps us up to date, keep us informed about new changes and things like
that. Oh, yeah. And the public health director, Matthew, formerly Darlene's, sits on the board of the organization and participates in those sort of things. So, yeah, it's a regional partnership that's worked well for a very long time.
All right. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben. We have one other addition for the agenda. Gabe is going to present for Office of the Aging.
Good morning.
Good morning,
sir. Three quick things this morning. First is permission to obtain licensing for Matter of Balance for $5,000. Matter of Balance is a peer-led program that is aimed at reducing falls for older adults. It's a program our office has offered in the past. We just use licensing from other counties. That's proving to be difficult, so we're going to obtain our own.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
The second thing is to purchase a master trainer for Matter of Balance for $2,065. This will allow us to have our own in-house trainer to train volunteers to lead this program throughout the county.
I'll move it. Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And finally, permission to contract with Habitat for Humanity to build ramps for older adults across Steuben County. We currently have a contract with the ramp guys out of Avoca. There was some leadership change due to Glenn Davis passing away, and the service area that they cover has shrunk dramatically, and we still want to be able to offer the service to older adults across the rest of Steuben County. So we're asking to contract with them for $6,500.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions?
So, Gabriel, will they work with ProAction? Because ProAction works on that as well.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. We have set up a meeting with ProAction as well as the ramp guys to see who can cover what service. And it's going to come down to who has the availability depending on the location within the county.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Nate, good morning.
You should be here.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nate.
All right, a couple requests today. First is in the Office for the Aging, asking to reclassify one social welfare examiner position, CSEA grade F, to an aging services assistant, CSEA grade D. We have a social welfare examiner that's retiring at the beginning of December and looking at the duties the way, as we always do. The aging services assistant fits the title more appropriately.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And on to social services, requesting to reclassify one currently filled senior account clerk position, CSEA grade G, to a senior account clerk typist, CSEA grade I. Standard situation of, overtime duties get added. This position has quite a few more duties than they originally did, as well as we're actually trying to kind of get away from just the senior account clerk and going to mostly senior account clerk typists. So title certainly fits the position.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And next, asking to reclassify two currently filled support cashier typist positions, CSEA grade D, to senior account clerk typist, CSEA grade I. Took a look at the duties of the support cashier typists and the support collection unit. Similar situation, a lot of extra duties, a lot of really accounting based duties, payments, receivables. After checking it, looking at it, all of these duties, that title just fits better. This title has been added to the HELPS program, so it's actually a great time to do this because it makes it easier and it's going to help retention as well.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nate. Yeah, you can.
I have a question.
Scott.
I'm sorry. The 2026 contracts that Lynn had, you burned through quickly. Does anyone have any questions? And I did have one.
Okay.
The Family Services Society increases from 400 to 987. So it's a $587,000 increase, and it says move two positions from Catholic Charities, seven positions from Pathways. So if you go up to Catholic Charities, their two positions dropped the cost by $58,000. If you go down to Pathways, those seven positions dropped cost by $230,000. $230,000 and $60,000 is $290,000, but Family Services increased by $587,000. What is the other 200,000?
Nobody knows.
Tim's going to help you understand.
All right. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. So what happens is that with Pathways, we are advertising positions on that contract. So technically these contracts, it'll be a wash because we are advertising positions in both places. We wanted to move 7 positions over to Family Services because we get more bites. They are able to give us more people. But in order to keep it moving forward, we have to keep those ones on. We have to keep those same, I think there's about 4 positions that are still sitting on Pathways. So if Pathways takes the bid, or if Pathways gets us the people, we will not use them at Family Services.
All right. Like, so it isn't just a transfer of 7. It's you got to keep them at the existing place while you recruit new, and then you eliminate the ones at the existing?
Correct. So like when people leave, so like if we know someone is going to be leaving Pathways, we just no longer contract with Pathways for that particular position. If they left, we take it and we'll move it down to Family Services because we, like I said, we get more bites from them. They're doing more work for us. But if the person is actually sitting there and we want to create, we leave that position open, or we leave that position with the person in it until we move it down to Family Services. Does that make sense? I know it sounds a little convoluted, but that's why. Plus, we gave everyone a 3% bump. Also, under Family Services, we have a couple of open positions that we actually increase the pay, maybe by $5,000 to $10,000 to get more bites for our mobile crisis support staff, social workers, because we are getting nothing and we have 2 people in mobile crisis right now. So that's another reason why it went up. We have a couple of positions open that we moved down that way. So that's around probably $40,000 more than they were originally under Pathways. So just in those 2 positions.
Okay. Thank you.
James.
Just wanted to highlight Operation Greenlight beginning yesterday, where the county buildings are going to be lit in green lights in honor of Veterans Services and their commitment to the country. So if there's municipalities that want to partake as well, I know it might be a little late this year, but there are light bulbs and stuff like that can be procured. So
thank you.
When did it start?
Yesterday. Yep. And goes till Veterans Day.
Any other questions? Comments? We'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.